The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program, Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
How have we lasted 25 years? I non-jokingly say, my team and Jesus.
You could make a case that Oprah Winfrey was the only successful liberal mainline Protestant in the last 25 years.
And in all this, you have lived the words of Scripture. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken.
So it's a proclamation of the good news and victory and salvation of Christ, not doomsday.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
There can sometimes be a giant gap between what people think is the case and what is the case. Misperception, misconception runs amok, even in a 24-hour news cycle. If you see this, and it's easy to even misread the headline, U.S. adults estimate that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian. You might conclude, if you're not reading carefully, that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian, but that's not even what the headline says. We're going to be talking about this new survey that finds that from American estimates, they believe that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian, according to a new Gallup poll. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later in this first hour, Pastor Carlos Hernandez will join us. He'll give us an update on the Joplin tornado and the relief efforts that are going on there. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us after that for teaching a Sunday school lesson today. We'll be in Genesis chapter 3, the fall into sin. In the second hour of the program, we're going to kick that off talking with Pastor Heath Curtis. The church on this day remembers second century martyr, philosopher, and apologist Justin Martyr. Then we'll do a little review of that best-selling book called Heaven is for Real. A young boy went into surgery, came out a couple months later, told his parents that he'd visited heaven, sat on Jesus' lap. We'll see what Pastor Thomas Messer has to say about the best-selling book, Heaven is for Real. Joining us to talk about a new Gallup poll saying that Americans, 25% of Americans, or at least the Americans believe that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian, Dr. Jennifer Roback Moore. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Does this mean that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian?
Well, certainly not. Certainly not. But it is an appalling number, isn't it? I mean, this comes on the heels of a recent report by the Williams Institute, which is a prestigious gay and lesbian think tank out of UCLA, telling that approximately 3.5% of the population is gay and lesbian. So for Americans on average to believe that 25% of the population is gay is for Americans on average to be off by a factor of 8. You know, their actual number is 8 times less than what the average Americans think it is. So it's really a shocking disconnect between truth and reality. I mean, the fact is even the city of San Francisco isn't 25% gay. So the question is, why do people think that? And what does it mean that people think that?
Well, let's start with the first one. Where do you think people would get the idea that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian?
Well, that is a very good question because, first of all, I have to say, if you were a subscriber to the Ruth Institute newsletter, you would not think that, because we've been over this topic in numerous ways and on multiple occasions. So this is a good time for you to go to ruthinstitute.org and sign up for our newsletter, because you won't be caught short on something like this, because our subscribers know perfectly well that it's around 3% of the population's gay. And interestingly enough, I don't know anybody who's going around saying a quarter of the population's gay. Nobody says that that I know of. There are quite a few gay activists who say, who still use the old 10% number that comes from Kinsey, and that number's been discredited by every reputable researcher a long time ago. So that leaves, you know, something else. So the people are getting this idea some other way. And the best that I can come up with is that this is the result, this perception is the result of having sympathetic gay characters on every sitcom in America. I mean, I think that has to be where it's coming from. There, I can't think of another place that it could be coming from. Let's put it that way.
So, to put it crassly, you turn on, and it varies from show to show, obviously, but it seems almost obligatory that any show of any popularity has to have at least one prominent gay character in it, favorably depicted. But you can turn on Glee, and you might get the impression that every high school youth is gay, or at least in the closet.
Yeah, so that's right. That's right. And that's what I'm talking about. And so what that points to is a concerted effort on the part of a very small minority of people to make themselves look bigger and more important than they actually are. And I think the lesson for that, for your listeners, Todd, and for my listeners, and for the Christian community as a whole, is to realize that people who make noise get noticed. And so it's time for our side to start making noise so that people realize that there are more of us than they might think, and that we have something to say that's reputable and that people can align themselves with. We don't have Hollywood at our disposal in the same way that the I don't know what you even want to call them, because it's not even a gay lobby. It's not even a gay rights organization. But the gay community certainly has Hollywood at its beck and call, and in a way that Christians simply don't. But on the other hand, there are more of us, and I think it's very important that we make our voices heard and known, so that it's not just the, you know, a few loud mouths who happen to have prominent posts in Hollywood who get all the attention.
The second question you raised, and I'd like your answer, is what does it mean for our society that 25% of Americans, I'm sorry, that Americans estimate that 25% of them are gay or lesbian?
Well, I think it means a couple of things. First of all, if they've got this big of a misperception about something as simple as the number of people who are gay, you can only imagine what kind of misperception people have about a policy proposal. So, for example, like the likely impact of redefining marriage on America. People who think that that's no big deal don't see any downside, you see. I mean, that literally, people see no downside to redefining marriage. If you don't see any downside to it, then, of course, you're going to be in favor of doing this. Like, what's the problem? What's the point? But as you and I have talked about many times, there are many and many profound negative consequences from redefining marriage, potentially. And if the skewed perceptions are this great about something as simple as counting noses, you know, you can only imagine what the misperceptions are about something as complex and as subtle as redefining an important social policy. So that's the first thing that kind of jumped out at me, is like, whoa, you know, if people can't even get the numbers right, it's no wonder that people are having trouble, you know, on the other side of this thing. But the other thing I think that that may be going on here, or that maybe is a consequence of it, is that people are afraid of crossing the gay lobby. You know, there are a lot of people who check their words, who mark themselves, who hold back and look over their shoulder before they say certain things, because they're afraid that they're going to be harassed, or, you know, somebody's going to try to get them fired from their jobs, or somebody's going to, tell them that they can't be on the Olympic Committee, or all of these different high-profile things where people have been kind of drummed out of positions by you know, loudmouth gay people. That if you think that that could happen to you, you're going to be quieter. You're going to censor yourself. And I think that's part of, I think that is part of what is going on here. Whether it's, and I think it's a kind of a dance between cause and effect. if you're afraid it could happen to you, you're going to be quiet, right? And if you see it happen to somebody else, you presume that the people making that happen must be more numerous than perhaps they really are. So, now, on both counts, though, either way you look at it, I think it behooves Christian people to stand up for themselves and say simple things like, kids need a mom and a dad, and to say kids need a mom and a dad in public as frequently as possible, you know, but while it's still legal to do so, you know, that's the thing, that people don't realize that we're losing our ability to speak out by not using our ability to speak out. And so that to me is one of the things that concerns me about a report like this one.
If someone's under the impression that a quarter of the population is gay, how will that influence their thinking for or against something like gay marriage? You mentioned it a little bit, but what do you mean in particular? With about a minute before our break.
It looks like from the report that that if people know someone who's gay or lesbian, they're more likely to support gay marriage. And if you think there are more gay people out there than there actually are, it appears that there's a correlation between that and being in favor of gay marriage. So I think it works in part. I think that's how it works, Todd.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll talk a little bit more with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about a new Gallup poll that says American adults estimate that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian. I wonder, what about that 10% figure that we've been hearing for 30, almost 40 years? Where does that come from? And why is it continually repeated when the actual data have never supported it? Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. It's Wednesday afternoon, June the 1st. After our conversation with Jennifer, Pastor Carlos Hernandez will join us from LCMS World Relief and Human Care, live from Joplin, Missouri, where he'll bring us an update on tornado relief efforts there. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us after that. We'll be talking about Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve's real life fall into sin. Then in the second hour of the program, we'll remember, along with the rest of the church, second century martyr, philosopher, and apologist Justin Martyr. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. And then, I know you've heard about the book, you've seen it, maybe you even own it and have read it. It's called Heaven Is For Real. We'll do a review of the best-selling book, Heaven Is For Real, with Pastor Thomas Messer.
The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual symposium on catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 15th through the 17th. This year's theme, the third article of the Creed, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Pastors Peter Bender, Christopher Esquette, Peter Scare, Rick Stuckwish, and Dean Taylor make presentations on private confession and absolution, Jesus' catechesis on the Holy Spirit, and what it means to confess one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Register online at peacesussex.org.
Issues Etc., regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit, to bring it to the congregation, to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc., to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, etc. The Issues, etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. We're talking about a Gallup poll reporting that U.S. adults estimate that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian. Jennifer, let's come back to that 10% figure that you mentioned a few minutes ago. It's one that's repeated often. It is widely believed and reported without any question as to its veracity. Where did it come from? What purpose does it serve?
Okay, that 10% number came from Kinsey, the Kinsey Report years ago. And Kinsey, everybody who looks at Kinsey's work knows perfectly well that he did not use a representative sample for any of the work that he did. And, you know, nobody takes it seriously as a statistical matter. And that 10% number has never been replicated by anyone. It's never come close to being replicated. And so, in the early days of the gay rights movement, they promoted that number because they knew that making it look like they were more numerous than they actually were would help to normalize the idea of homosexuality and accepting it and so on. But now, you know, reputable researchers, including gay and lesbian reputable researchers, have shown beyond any shadow of a doubt that the percentage of the population that is exclusively gay and lesbian is actually less than 2%. Gary Gates's numbers that came out about a month ago, it showed that about 3.5% of the population identifies as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, and the majority of those people are bisexual. So you're really looking at about, you know, less than 2% of the population that's exclusively gay or lesbian. So the inflated number serves the purpose of making it look more normal than it really is, or more mainstream than it really is. And so this idea that 25% of the population is gay, it means that the gay lobby has succeeded beyond its wildest imaginings in convincing people that they're more numerous than they actually are.
Well, finally then, what can we do to debunk the myth that 25% of Americans are gay or lesbian?
Well, that's a very good question. The first thing I think you need to do is to just turn off your TV. Just stop watching this stuff, you know, and ask people if they get all of their data from Hollywood, you know. Looking more closely at the Gallup report itself, what you see is that the least educated and the least informed people are the ones with the most inflated estimates. Okay, so you've got people with annual incomes under $30,000 believe the average number of gays and lesbians is 36% of the population, whereas people in the highest income classes think it's less than 20%. You know, so the people who are better informed actually come up with a lower point estimate. So it's not that, you know, all the poor people and all the high school educated people have lots and lots of gay and lesbian friends. That's not where the gay and lesbian population really is, as we know. So it's got to be more media driven than anything else. That's what I think. And I think people just have to be debunking this kind of report and going for accurate numbers. And, you know, of course, that's what we do at the Ruth Institute all day long, is to try to provide accurate information about these kind of issues.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. We'll post a link at our website to the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.